Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. Same number in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we introduced the very controversial subject of predestination, yes. A subject that's been debated, argued, discussed vehemently.
Yes, people have died
over
this.
That's right, for thousands and thousands of years. And why is it so divisive? Why is it such a dividing line within the body of Christ? There's camps on either side. Man, anytime that subject comes up, both sides dig their spurs in and they're just ready to fight. And yet when you read what the Word of God actually says, it's a unifying truth.
Yes.
It's a unifying truth between people that once hated each other but are now one in Christ. Those would be Jews and Gentiles. Mm-hmm. The body of Christ, that's what it's made up of, Jews and Gentiles. So the first people to come to Christ were Jews on the day of Pentecost. Peter stood up and proclaimed the good news about Jesus, and 3,000 people were added to the church that day. And as we move through the book of Acts, we see that gospel spreading to other people groups. In Acts 8, we see it go to the Samaritans, and then it goes in chapter 10 to the Gentiles.
Yes.
So it goes from Jew to Samaritan to Gentile.
Just like Jesus said it would.
Absolutely. And in all of that, God is forming one new man, one new entity called the church, called the body of Christ. It is made up of Jew and Gentile. It gives a lot of, I think, meaning to Jesus' words to love your enemies.
Yes.
Because that's what we were going to have to do in this body of Christ. Jew despised Samaritan. Samaritan despised Jew. Both despised the Gentiles. There was laws against even commingling with the Gentiles. And the Jews were very particular in obeying those very laws. So now in Christ, we're all one. Well, when we overlay predestination on top of that, we see that this was God's purpose from the very beginning. God predestined that Jew and Gentile would be one in Christ.
Yes.
God brought that about in Jesus. So now in Jesus, there's no Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. We've all become one in him. And that's what we talked about yesterday in 1 Peter chapter 2, reading verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people. There's that word, chosen people. How were we chosen? By grace. How did we respond to that? Through faith. So it's by grace, through faith in Jesus. The gospel message goes out. We respond in faith. We're added to the body of Christ. So what makes up those chosen people? Jews that have responded to the good news, Gentiles who have responded to the good news. Together we stand as one, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so for us to become a part of the people of God, we had to receive mercy.
Yes.
And the reason we had to receive mercy is because we had a need. We had a critical need, an urgent need that could only be met outside of us. There was nothing within our realm of experience, nothing within our realm of knowledge, nothing within our bank accounts that could buy the salvation we desperately need, that could bargain for the salvation that we needed, could negotiate for the salvation we needed, could solve our problem. There's nothing within our human realm that had an answer for that. That's why we had to depend upon the mercy of God. And when we come to a point and recognize our need, that's when mercy mean something to us. And that's when we open up our hearts and open up our arms and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And he delivers and bestows salvation upon us. And that's to Jew and Gentile. And those who receive mercy have become the people of God. That is God's marvelous plan. That was the plan predestined from the very beginning. Yep. That's the plan that is being carried out today in Christ. He is the one bringing this all about. So together, Jew and Gentile, we are one in Jesus.
Yes, indeed. That's a great place to be. 844-322-2742, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Just a moment, we'll go talk to Clay in Hutto, Texas. But guys, just to show you and our listeners how God answers prayers, I got this email from Kenneth, who listens to our podcast in Windsor, Ontario, up in Canada. He says, I'm so glad that this ministry has been a part of my life for almost 9 years now. Praise Jesus. It was the only fellowship I ever had until this past year when some co-workers invited me to their community church. I was very hesitant, as I had never been a churched Christian. Although I know I need to be in fellowship with a community of believers, I was worried about false teachings. But I have attended for the past 6 months. In this last Tuesday night's Bible study on difficult passages, the teacher said that Romans 9, 18 through 19 is referring to the fact that if God didn't choose some people, no one would come to him. I thought I should email Basic Gospel and see if they can help clarify this. But first, I listened to yesterday's program. When Bob Christopher said today we're going to talk about a controversial issue, predestination, I got goosebumps, he says. Something that had been on my mind was about to be put to rest. Something I had just briefly prayed about the day before, asking for some much-needed clarity. What are the odds? I was sitting on the edge of my seat, waiting to hear that predestination is God electing the Jews and the Gentiles to come to him, both through Christ. And that is exactly what you guys taught in those few minutes on the program. I finally understood, and a weight was lifted. That's from Kenneth in Windsor, Ontario.
Well, that's such great news.
Yes.
There is so much confusion swirling around out there in Christianity about this particular topic. And yes, it's true that God had to reach down to save us. There was no way that we could save ourselves. And so Christ did that. God sent Jesus to save us. There was no way that we could give life to ourselves. We were dead. We had nothing to give. We had no power. We had nothing. We had to receive that. We received that by faith. But this predestination is a much bigger subject, a much broader subject. It's talking about people groups. When you read Romans 9, 10, and 11, when you read Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, when you read what we just read in Peter, we see that God is talking about Jew and Gentile. And he's talking about the fact that the Jew was ticked that God was going to have mercy on the Gentile.
Yes. How
and
could
so
you?
Paul said, bringing in an Old Testament quote from God, that I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
Yes.
If God chooses to have mercy on the Gentiles, what's that to you, Jew? That's my prerogative. And if you would read the Old Testament scriptures, you would see from the very beginning that this was always my plan. When I gave the promise to Abraham that through his seed, Jesus, the world would be blessed, all nations would be blessed, it was right there. It wasn't just for this bloodline. It was for all peoples. I created man in my image. Sin took that image away. I'm going to restore that to all who will come to faith. I've predestined that. So if I want to have mercy on the Jew, I'm going to have mercy on the nation of Israel. If I'm going to have mercy on the Gentile, I'm going to have mercy on the Gentile. That's his prerogative. Who are we to argue with that? And as Peter stood up in the Jerusalem council, he said, who am I to argue against God's plan?
Yes.
Who am I to say something different? He is the one that poured out his spirit on the Gentiles. I was there. I witnessed it. I just told these guys about Jesus. I just told them that if they received him, they're going to receive forgiveness of sins. And then, man, the Holy Spirit comes down and these folks are saved. They're born again just like we are. God shows no favoritism, no partiality. He gave mercy to those Gentiles.
Yeah.
Who am I to argue? And who are we to argue?
Yes.
Who are we to question what God is doing? We need to get on board with what God is doing. And he is out to save anyone and everyone, Jew and Gentile alike, through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad our friend tuned in yesterday and that weight was lifted.
One of the things I've had to learn the hard way is that even if I'm right in my interpretation of Scripture, if my rightness causes me to be judgmental or feel superior or arrogant or any of those other human emotions, then the problem is still mine. And that's what happens in these conversations. We take a position and we hold to it, and we think that we've beat somebody into submission, and all we've done is chase them away from Jesus.
Absolutely.
It's not worth it.
Not worth it at all.
844-322-2742. Lines available. Time on the clock. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Hutto, Texas, and talk with our friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
How you doing, Richard? Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
We sure can. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was calling about Galatians 1, 8, and 9. You know, it talks about if an angel preaches another gospel than what I've delivered, let him be accursed. And then the next verse in 9, it says, if any man does the same, preaches a different gospel, let him be accursed. Now, Bob, I know you're a sports fan, and I am too. I don't know if Richard is, but I watched the Super Bowl this year, and it's probably the first time in 10 years because I wanted to see Peyton Manning. I thought it maybe it'd be his last time. And so we were sitting there at halftime, and I saw something come on that just really took me back because their commercials are $4.5 million for 1 minute. And a 33-second commercial came on by the Church of Scientology. And I didn't think much of it. So when it was over the game, I looked it up online. They also had a full minute one in 2013. And I remember back in the early 70s when I was in college that Dianetics and L. Rod Hubbard was a big deal and everything. And so I was looking this thing up. And what on the commercial, they talk about combining religion and science so that you'll know the truth, you know. And so I started looking this thing up, and they're real big into reincarnation, okay? And their leader says he believes in Jesus as the Son of God and the Son of Man, okay? And my question to you is, isn't that a different gospel if you're promoting reincarnation, even if out of your mouth you say Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man?
Well, there's nothing in the Word of God that teaches it. It's not a part of the gospel. Our hope is in a new body, and to have, an eternal existence with God. Not coming back as different things and just looping through life, you know, in all kinds of different forms and shapes.
Until get it better.
Yeah. But Scientology denies the Word of God. Scientology denies the person and work of Jesus Christ. They may say some things about Jesus. But I think when you kind of peel back all the different layers, it's really just a money game. I mean, it's just a way to get money, and those that are involved in it invest a lot of money to promote it.
That's what they said, Bob. They have less than 50,000 members, $1 billion worth of assets, okay?
Yeah.
Like you said, that's a lot of money for less than 50,000 members. And here we go again. It's another replay. That was big stuff back in the early 70s, and I was slam heathen then, and I even read the book Dianetics, because I don't think a Christian could be duped by it, but those that are out in the world could see it as a different gospel.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. I mean, this whole passage, you know, I'm astonished that you were so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. I mean, this is a warning, and there's so many things, you know. Mormonism says that it got truth because an angel revealed it to Joseph Smith. Well, it's not the gospel that Paul preached. It's not the gospel that the other apostles preached. And you have to look at that and say, well, if that's the case, if it's different, what do we say about it? Well, I think here's some pretty strong words, aren't there? It doesn't mean that the gospel isn't offered to these folks. It just means that they're turning to a different gospel. They're saying the good news about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, isn't good enough. You know, I want to create my own philosophy. I want to create my own way into heaven. I want to create, and so they talk about Jesus as an example. If we can just follow what he did and imitate him, then maybe we can be a little God like he is. Maybe we can have our own planet and all that stuff. So, you know, we got to stick with the plain gospel presentation that Jesus came. He taught that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He took upon himself the sins of the world. He died in our place. He took the punishment we justly deserved. He was buried, fulfilling the law in its entirety. He was raised back to life. That's the program. That's the plan. And it's a by grace through faith in Jesus reality for us. There's no other way to be saved. And if anyone promotes another gospel, they are far away from what God has given to us in Christ. So, good words, Clay. Appreciate it.
Amen. Hey, Richard.
Yes, sir.
I've been still meditating on that mercy. It's, God is good and his mercy endures forever. And his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Well, it looks like the age of grace may come to an end at an appointed time. But I believe his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. His mercy will never end.
Interesting.
Yeah. Good stuff, Clay.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. We'd like for you to be a part of the broadcast. 844-322-2742. Toll free in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Livermore, California, and talk with William. Hi, William. Nice to hear from you.
Hi, Bob. I was wondering if you heard the Pope's comments about Donald Trump today.
Just secondhand. I didn't hear the exact quote, but I think the Pope is questioning Donald Trump's faith. Is that correct? And basically saying, you know, if he was a real Christian, he wouldn't be building a wall or wouldn't want to build a wall. Did I get that sort of right?
Yeah, he said Christians don't build walls, they build bridges. And I was just wondering where it says that in the Bible.
Well, you know, here's...
I did a Nexus search of every English translation, and the word bridge does not appear once in Old or New Testament. But the word wall or walls appears nearly 300 times, most poignantly probably in the book of Nehemiah, who rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem after the Babylonians destroyed it. And the first thing he did when he got there was rebuilt the wall.
Yes, and those walls were built for protection. Right. That's the reason the walls are there. If you go to Jerusalem today, the old city is a walled city. Those walls were very important for the protection of those communities, those societies, and those nations back in the day. And that's the point we need to really bring to the table in this particular discussion. As individual believers, we do reach out in love. God's love compels us to reach out. And so Christians all over this world are reaching out and doing acts of kindness, are ministering to people, are meeting the needs of people, are connecting them to the love of Christ through sharing the good news. We see that happening all over the world. God is using them as a vehicle, is working through the body of Christ today. Now, that's what God is doing through us. Now, as far as nations are concerned, every nation is, you know, sovereign and can make their own choices and decisions. But one of the big things that they focus on, each and every one, is protection of its citizens. I mean, you're not going to march into the Vatican. There's all kinds of
walls too.
Yeah, there's all kinds of security there. Try to immigrate there and become a citizen and see how difficult that's going to be.
Right.
So we have to realize that there are discussion points that we talk about on a national level that concerns national policy, national security. that's different than what God is doing through the body of Christ. So you may be for, William, security. You may be for building that wall. But if somebody moved next to you in your neighborhood as a believer, you're going to be for reaching out to that neighbor. That's just the way it is. So is there a contradiction in those things? Absolutely not, because you're making a decision as far as the wall being built on a national level. You're making a decision to reach out to your neighbor, a person that you can see, you're living life with, so to speak. You're reaching out to him based on a spiritual level, based on the love of Christ flowing through you. So we need to learn to make distinctions on those things.
But I think that politicians get very philanthropic when they're talking about other people's money.
They do. They like to spend other people's money. They really do.
Well, I'm just primarily concerned, like Clay was talking about false teaching. When I hear somebody teaching something in the name of Christ, which is not true, that raises a red flag for me.
Yes.
Yes, I agree. I agree with you, William. And,
all right, guys, thank you.
I think those things that we hear out there, you know, a lot of times it forces us to get back into the Word of God, just like William did, you know, is
go look
there.
It up.
Yeah. And I think that's a wonderful testimony. Just because somebody says something and they're in a particular position, I still think we need to take what we've heard and bounce it off the Word of God.
Yes.
That's what we say as far as this radio broadcast is concerned. You know, take what you hear through the basic gospel airwaves and look it up in the Bible.
Sure.
And if we're saying something that doesn't match up, discard it.
Yeah.
Challenge us.
Yeah.
Tell us about it. And we would love to talk about those things. So,
yeah.
William, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Good to hear from you, William. Thanks.
Well, let's go to Queens, New York, and talk with Gil, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Gil.
Hi, good afternoon.
How you doing, my friend?
Happy Sheep Day.
Yes, it's great to hear from you. We've missed you.
Yes.
You too. Thank you. I wanted to ask a question about Romans 8:28 and 29 in light of predestination, because I don't believe in division. Division is good in mathematics, but it's not good in Christianity. But I would apply it on both sides of the fence. Because I know that, I don't know if you ever heard of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff?
Sure.
Yes.
He used to say that it's an in-house debate. In other words, this issue of predestination.
Well, it is an in-house. I mean, that's where it's debated. Although I've had a number of conversations with lost people who will just say, you know, I don't really believe. I'm not interested in Christianity. And one of the things that they bring up is predestined, you know, that if God made us, then we really don't have a choice and that sort of thing. So it's a troubling, it can be a troubling theology or doctrine or thought or idea to those who are contemplating or taking a look at what Christianity is all about. I mean, and I do think, Gil, we need to realize that as far as the gospel is concerned, God is always the initiator.
Yes.
That no one initiates to God. No one ever, you know, takes the first step toward God. God is always the one that initiates. God is the one that chose to send Jesus. So we see his choice right there. We see his love right there and the fact that he chose to send Jesus. And that was a plan before creation even happened, that at some point Jesus was going to come. He was going to become flesh. He was going to taste death for us so that we could experience the grace of God. So in all of this, in these passages that you're talking about, you just see that God is the initiator, that God is the driving force. This really is his story, and the gospel message invites us to be a part of his story. Well, Gil, we're out of time. It's awfully good to hear from you, my friend.
Yes,
like
indeed.
I said, we've missed you. Call again, okay?
Yeah, and thanks for being with us, everybody. Now for Bob Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow for that teaching edition. Please join us. Bye-bye.